discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. Yes, just as I predicted. I was doing Kevin and Bean today, and I said, the way the show runs is the coffee arrives after the mics heat up. Not more than 10 seconds, we wait for the mics to come on, then the door opens, then the mugs come down.
It's the morning show.
It would not work if it was a minute before that.
Here in Los Angeles. Which is a very popular morning show here in Los Angeles that was broadcasting this morning when Adam completely went off on me. I got calls from everybody. Every corner of Los Angeles called me to tell me that you were on the air speaking just so disparagingly and saying such awful things about me. And people were like driving off the road, getting
driving off the road.
People were angry.
And what kind of person calls you and alerts you to this? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't trust that individual. I don't trust these people, and I would not count them amongst my friends.
People that care enough about you to alert you that somebody is just going off and calling you an evil, bad, angry. What are some of the other things you refer to me as?
He's
a despicable asshole.
I don't recall exactly. Right. Anyway.
So somebody gave me a transcript, so it's okay.
Let's not live in the past. No one gave you a transcript. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tiffany is our guest tonight.
Hey.
Sorry you had to endure that, but, you know, like any couple, we have our good days and our bad days.
Here and there.
You know, we argue so much, it's a no big deal to us. But
we argue?
We have disputes and debates and that kind of thing. We have no difficulty with it, but I realize sometimes it makes a guest feel uncomfortable because they may internalize it a little bit. They may think it's more than it
it's
actually
kinda like an old Jewish couple in a restaurant screaming at each other while the waitress stands there like...
Right. They're used to it. It's no big deal. All right. So, Tiffany, hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And I never, ever say welcome to the show, do I, Drew?
Never.
No, I absolutely don't. In Playboy, I feel like we've done this interview because I was on Howard Stern a couple weeks back.
Whatever.
When Tiffany was on Howard Stern. I just sat there, but I felt like I was somehow involved. And I got all the particulars with... the Playboy spread and all that kind of stuff. So,
particulars?
Yeah.
Go ahead and share with us.
Yeah, here's a question I had. What is it? Now, you must have gotten Playboy offers when you were selling 4 million records in 1987, correct?
No. I never did.
Why not?
I don't know, maybe because I was, you know, underage.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. They allow 14.
I can see you know a lot about me.
Don't they have a Canadian Playboy where they have, like, 14-year-olds or something? Well, no, I mean, I just assume that sometime in your career, you were 18 years old, were you not?
Yes, I was, but I don't think they ever came to me and asked me to do Playboy at that time. Let's see, 18. Yeah, no, I was taking a hiatus, so I wasn't taking too many phone calls.
So you basically, your career, how old were you in 1987 when you sold 4 million records?
I was 16.
16. And you decided after that it was time to take a hiatus.
Well, I had been on the road for 2.5 years, and music was changing.
Right.
And I didn't really have all the answers, you know. I was changing management, and I knew I didn't want to do more dance music.
Right.
So I opted to get off the road. I went off the road. I did another album, which was a dance album, and it didn't do so well. And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to take a break. I have no clue what I'm doing right now. I miss being out on the road, but... it's unhealthy.
But did you make enough money in that relatively short period of time to support yourself for the rest of that?
Yeah, I did.
So you didn't get screwed by a record company or anything?
No. I mean, you know, there's talk about my manager and stuff like that. But, no, I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is I didn't write any of my old stuff. So I didn't make money on publishing like I do now.
Right.
So basically, if you don't tour, that's your income. So after a while with not touring, it became uncomfortable.
Right. Did you do any, and I don't recall at the time, but did you have any, like, lucrative endorsement deals, like, you know, Britney Spears doing Pepsi or anything like that?
You know what? I mean, those were kind of few and far a little bit, and no, not really. I didn't do too much of, like, commercials and things like that. Outside of the United States, I did.
Oh, you did?
But nothing really here in the U.S.
Why? I mean, you weren't approached by, like, a... a Massengale or something? I mean, wouldn't some feminine, I mean, Kotex or something get a hold of you and say they want to do like a junior tampon campaign or something?
I don't know if they did. I didn't do it.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't have to wear it. I'm not saying that. I'm just... You would just think that, okay, it was 1987, but it wasn't 1937. You'd just think that Pepsi would come knocking at some point, or Kodak or something. You know,
no,
just
not
some
at that time.
All-American
it could have been
girl.
My management, too, though. They were very controlling, and you know, if they couldn't, like, control the whole situation, then I couldn't be part of the project. But so it, I know we got, you know, blown out of the water for a lot of that.
Yeah, because it... Drew, please back me up here, doesn't it? And it seemed like you could have turned a deal or two for some cereal or something.
You mean they'd have to have ownership of the whole operation? Or?
Well, they would have to be completely involved. And it, like movie soundtracks and stuff, my producer at the time would say, well, I have to produce it. And, I mean, I know there was a lot of opportunities that came my way to collaborate with other artists or work on soundtracks. And it was really a bad move for me career-wise. And once I started finding out about it, I said, that's kind of not fair, you know? I mean, you're representing me as an artist. I should do any and all opportunities. What an honor to be able to work with other artists. And because you can't produce the record, I don't get to do it. Yeah, that's not going to work.
So you did, but you did end up doing some commercials in, like, Japan or Europe.
I did some Maiji chocolate and soda, Sunny 10.
Yeah, do they just pay you a bunch of money? It's just like a buyout?
Yeah, and then you do, you know, these commercials, and they're usually kind of goofy because it's a different market out there.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities who want to sort of maintain their cachet here in the States just do these incredibly expensive Japanese ads, and we don't even know about it.
Huh.
You know about this, Drew?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, these guys, like, I think, I don't know, Kevin Costner, guys like this, guys you would not see in a commercial out here who want to kind of keep their... cool.
Right.
They give them $5 million to do commercials in Japan.
Interesting.
Yeah. Talk about free money there. And nothing. You look at you. You got a, I was going to say law degree, but you're a doctor, right?
Right.
You don't know about it?
Nope.
All right. All right. All right. So in Playboy this month, which is out on the newsstands, I looked at it already on about 2 weeks ago, but I'll bring it in. Not fond of the centerfold, by the way.
That one's not me.
That's not you.
That's not me.
No, I know. But the centerfold...
I'm surprised they used another redhead, actually.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of guys that are looking at this, it's late, their hands jiggling, and they're loaded. And they can easily flip to this other redhead.
And think that's me.
Yes, and dedicate
a
batch
to
her.
What's up with that?
A batch, Drew. All right. Hi there, Tiffany. All right, so we're going to answer some calls, right?
What do you have any thoughts about the current Britney Spears and these sorts of performers?
I never heard that question before.
I know. I've never heard
anything. Well, I mean, it's just a different time. I mean, I think definitely they're doing what they need to be doing to make the record successful. Yeah. Like with Britney, you know, she has to be a little sexy and she has to do cutting edge videos if she wants to be taken seriously and make that transition into young pop teenage star into adult woman. And I think the acting is the best thing for her to do, actually. Like, Christina Aguilera is totally different because she has the voice.
Yeah, she's got some chops.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk to Gabby, who's 32. Gabby?
Hello. Yes.
What's up?
Yes, I have two questions here. Mm-hmm. I'm Asian.
Right.
And then, yes, I am.
Yes.
And then I have a question. Why it took me a couple hours to have orgasm every time I try to masturbate?
Wow, I love the way you say orgasm. Orgasm.
Who is number one?
Yeah. Do you know Minka, the number one Asian big boob queen?
Uh-huh.
Okay, just checking.
Asian big boob queen.
I want that on my outgoing message. All right, why 2 hours? Is that what you're asking, Gabby?
Why it took me so long to have orgasm.
Are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
No medication.
I don't drink and I don't smoke.
And you've never had this problem before?
I had orgasm the first time. It was last year. I've never had orgasm before.
I'm delighted by the by orgasm.
Stress? I don't know.
And she's using it.
And then you never... You understand my question? Has it ever been easy for you?
I'm sorry?
Your orgasm, right? It takes 2 hours, correct?
That's right.
Has it ever taken less than 2 hours?
No.
It always takes 2 hours.
It's always over an hour.
A long time.
A long time. I'm tired.
Maybe you need new batteries. What are you doing with all those condoms?
And even my boyfriend, he's got a hard time to satisfy me too.
I see. Yeah, to give you the orgasm.
Yes.
Well, is anything wrong? Was your clitoris bound, or I don't know? I don't know what the culture is. Sure.
And you have no medical problems, and you have no trauma history.
No, I don't.
Your relationships are okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's just
this
you.
This is you, yeah.
That's you. That's Gabby. You're just Gabby. Okay?
Well, it's only one time. It's only one guy in my life.
Good.
Good. Yeah.
But then it's only one time. And then that's it. And it's never.
Never again.
Again.
Yeah, not that.
Then it's normal.
Not that night, but the next day, right?
Somebody takes
it's only one night. That's it.
We understand, but somebody that's going to take an hour is not going to have multiple orgasms.
Yeah, she only has one, but
yes.
He only has one too. Or
don't
no, sorry,
don't. Adam, please.
Okay, Gabby.
Only one with my boyfriend, but if I try by myself, it took me like a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't like doing it by yourself, then.
All right. So you do it with your boyfriend. That's just you, Gabby. So what do you do for a living? Nails?
Well, no.
Something
I
with nails.
I work at the bank.
Oh, the bank?
Yes.
All right. You had the voice of someone who does it with nails. I've never personally had my nails done, but every woman I've ever been with has done an imitation of your voice when she talked about getting a manicure. All right there, Gabby. That's just the way you are. That's just Gabby's.
That's okay.
Orgasm. All right, baby?
No.
Orgasm.
Sometimes I'm frustrated.
You're frustrated?
I'm frustrated, and also it makes my boyfriend frustrated because it's hard for him to...
All right, does he give you oral sex?
Yes, he did.
He does. And how is that? Do you enjoy that?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
He just has to put his time in. He's not frustrated. I mean, you know what I mean? He has to realize that's just you, and nothing he can do to change that.
Well, there's really nothing. She's 32 years old.
I know.
She's been taking an hour ever since she's been this high, and that's
it. She only
right?
orgasmed first time last year.
Oh, did she say that?
Didn't she say that?
I think she did.
Yeah.
First time last year.
First time.
Holy Christ, 31?
Don't play tennis no more.
You don't know Minka, do you, Tiffany?
No.
Oh, she's great. Number one Asian big boob queen. Haley?
Hi.
Hey, you're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
My mom's setting me up with a 16-year-old guy, and I've asked her, I've told her, actually, 1,010,000 times that I don't want to go out with him, and she still doesn't listen.
What is it about this guy?
He's 16.
So is she just hell-bent on you seeing a 16-year-old, or is there something about this 16-year-old?
There's just something about this 16-year-old. I don't know him, or I've never met him, and I'm not ready to start dating.
But why is she so hell-bent on this?
I don't know, actually.
Well, give us a hint. What might be she be interested in here? It's such bizarre behavior, right? Most moms, or at least certainly dads, are trying to keep this...
Most moms, too.
Prevent this, yeah, keep this from happening for as long as possible. So is there something about this guy that can't be missed, or what's the situation?
I think it's because she thinks he's so great, and...
Why?
I don't know. He's...
All right, hold on there, screwball.
Sorry.
Look, that's all right, baby. Now you make me feel bad. Don't ever apologize, ever, to anyone, under any circumstances.
Well, not you, anyway.
Yeah, not me. But is she... what is her relationship with this guy?
He's a friend of this girl she works with. I mean, he's the son of this girl.
The son.
So they've been together, kind of chatting it up, wanting to get their kids together.
So this guy must be like a world-class nerd, too, right?
Yeah.
He's not a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little chubby. He's got bad skin.
So you're kind of embarrassed of him then.
Oh, I don't know.
Have you ever seen him or met him?
No, but I know his older brother. And
he's a eunuch, too.
Oh.
Yeah. You've seen the first acorn didn't fall too far from the tree.
All right. So it's not about you not wanting to date. It's about you not wanting to date this guy.
Yeah.
let's be honest here. Well, why don't you be more direct, more honest? It's always more compelling when you have some passion behind your opinions.
Right.
It doesn't make sense when you're like, I'm not ready to date. We didn't buy that.
Well, I sort of did, but no, tell your mom, look, this isn't your cup of tea.
I do not want to date this guy. Plus,
wait a minute though. Maybe you should get a look at him. You want to get a look at him?
Well, I've had his brother describe him to me, and he's not exactly the best looking guy.
Well, how old is his brother?
His brother is 17.
All right, brother could be screwing with you, sort of.
And you may not be any prize either. You ever think of that?
I know I'm not a prize.
Oh,
Adam, how do you feel bad again?
Come on, baby.
You're fat.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, I am fat.
Oh, Drew, come on. Jesus Christ.
You're fat.
Wait a minute, Drew, please. How big are you there, Haley?
I stand about 5'4", and I weigh about 183.
You're overweight.
Drew,
aren't you
please.
Describing
I stand kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And
about,
everyone knows you don't give no lip to big Haley.
About 12 hands.
How many stone do you weigh? All right. Well, you got a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let's have a little discussion, Tiffany. I'll lean up here.
Well, have nothing to do with you.
Let me do some radio math here, by the way. 5'4", about 183.
Seem to be honest about the height. Give her the height.
I give her the height. I might give her the weight, too, with the 183 instead of, the 180. But I still want to do, some radio math here. 5'4", 183. Give her the 4. Okay, I'm at 5'2¼", 192.
All right.
Okay. 14. This is a gal who, because I hate to be cruel, but it is my job to be realistic, and kids can be cruel, and she's, in the 9th grade or going into the 10th grade or something. Probably not going to have the young fellas banging down the door at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now she's got some guy, and maybe this guy's no prince, but on the other hand,
I think she might find some common ground here.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Hey, Haley?
Yeah?
Unless this guy's just a complete train wreck, why don't you just go out with him once? Say you like his personality.
Okay.
So he likes your personality.
Yeah. My mom's kind of controlling, so.
Uh-oh.
So that's another reason you don't want to do it, just because it's mom's idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, your mom's... Yeah. Where's your dad?
My dad lives with us. He's very an angry person, angry and distant.
Did he hit you?
No, but I've watched
him. He did from a distance, though.
I've watched him hit people, so.
Okay.
Like my older sisters and stuff.
Okay.
They were around my age, so.
Haley?
Yep.
Here's the deal. I'm gonna work out the next 8 years of your life, all right?
Okay.
It's not a great deal. You got a rough life. It's gonna be a little crappy. I got news for you. Maybe a little overweight, dad's pain in the ass, your mom's controlling. Look out for those eating disorders. Mm-hmm. But here's the good news. You don't have to get pregnant. You can get your grades good, and you can go far away to some college where there's no angry dads looming around the campus, all right?
I don't plan on getting pregnant, and I'm homeschooled.
Ooh. Homeschooled.
Yeah, she pulled me out about 4 years ago because she wanted me around more because my sisters moved out. And
yeah.
You weren't exactly what?
I wasn't exactly the brightest student in the world.
Yeah, you sound pretty sharp for 14.
Yeah.
You just weren't into school.
No, I'm not into school yet.
Hmm. Are you going to go back to school?
I'm working on her.
On your mom.
So this is another reason that mom's interested in you having somebody to date, because you have no peers, no friends probably.
I have a couple friends.
But it's not the usual social scene that one would have in high school.
No, they're quite a bit older than me. My youngest friend is 37 years old, actually.
Oh, for God's sake.
Swear to God.
Well, then what's up? How do you do homeschool? You go to home college after that? Like, where do you go from there? What kind of records or transcripts do you have? I mean, you could take the SATs, I guess, but what, you have honors English? Yeah, mom gave me an A. You know, my goddamn parents would give me D's and F's if I was homeschooled. I know my mom and dad would do that. Just, they give me U's. This is what you deserve.
If you performed on satisfactory level, Adam.
All right. I don't know what to say. Don't start throwing up. That's all I want to say.
There you go. And don't get pregnant.
And who the hell's going to get her pregnant? The mailman? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. That homeschooling thing, listen, folks, it turns your kids into just warped sort of balls.
It's sad. I think it's sad.
Yes, it is sad.
They don't have any friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And First off, I don't know a homeschooler under 200 pounds. That's number one. They're big kids.
Because you're around the kitchen
all
the time.
They're like animals that are in captivity. You know, they just sit around and eat.
What do you do when you're around your house?
I eat.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I beat off. Not in that order, mister.
Oh, my God, homeschooling Adam Carolla. Oh, my God.
Yeah, don't worry.
It'd be so embarrassing.
That'd be a disaster. That's what recess would just be, masturbation. That's it. Right, Tiffany?
I guess so.
Yeah. All right, don't homeschool your kids. Because here's the deal. If they're having troubles at school, you got to fix it. You can't just step off the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're getting...
She needs to be around friends. She needs
friends. Absolutely. She needs peers.
She needs to be active, probably lose the weight.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. Monica, yeah, she's probably watching soaps and eating Ho-Hos all day with her mom crying in front of the TV set because Dr. Lance Banyan is getting a divorce.
Monica, 27.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
The question is, I have MS, and I'm wondering if that is the reason I cannot have an orgasm.
I've never had people complain of that, but that may not be something that's sort of top of mind if they're having a flare of the MS.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly some of the medications that people take
yes.
in around this syndrome can cause sexual dysfunction. What medicines are you on?
I'm taking Copaxone,
uh-huh.
Celexa, I'm on birth control,
uh-huh.
and allergy medication, Allegra,
mm-hmm.
and something for my nose, some nasal spray.
You know, Allegra's antihistamine. Should you really be on that?
Why not?
With your MS, it's not just often...
Because of the
Celexa? It's often recommended that people with MS don't take antihistamines. But be that as it may, Celexa is probably your culprit here.
MS is something you come into usually, right?
Yes.
When did you come into this MS?
Well, I was diagnosed September 11th.
Oh, how interesting. Oh, my God.
Oh, well, so were you having orgasms before then?
No, never.
Oh.
Never.
You've never had them?
No.
Well, then... Well, didn't she ask if it was because of her MS that she wasn't having orgasms?
MS may...
Yes. Go ahead.
Yes, that's what I did ask, yes.
MS may have subclinical manifestations. In other words, before you really full-blown show.
But at 18, I mean, years earlier?
She's just a 27-year-old. I think, Monica, you're just a 27-year-old having trouble having orgasms, which is not uncommon at all, but that Celexa is going to work against you for sure.
Okay.
All right.
But how long would the MS be floating around before it showed itself?
It's
usually
it's hard to sometimes years. I had one patient had a flare, like had a sort of an episode of dizziness or whatnot that we now looking back 6 years ago realized that was a missed episode of MS.
Yeah, nice work.
I didn't see him.
Nice work.
When I saw him, I made the diagnosis
nice
immediately.
Nice work, brother.
But listen,
must not have paid that time.
What kind of manifestations are you having, Monica?
Okay.
What are the manifestations of the MS for you?
Vertigo. Blurred vision, double vision.
So you're not having, you have
my neck to my lower back, shocks from my crotch to my feet.
Shocks?
Weakness.
Wow. Maybe that's an orgasm. I'd count that.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, though, you were not having orgasms before MS, so I wouldn't connect it to the MS.
Okay.
So did you have boyfriends before that? Did you masturbate?
Yes.
And nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, and they gave you the good oral sex?
Yes.
They gave you the carpet bombing technique that I'm famous for?
Yeah,
that
the
one?
Vacuum, yes.
The vacuum.
How dare you? I don't do the vacuum. I do the carpet bomb. Okay, well, listen, you can't have them orgasms.
How's the Copaxone going for you?
I have no... Actually, I've had a relapse.
On it.
And then they put me on steroids.
Yeah, of course.
And then I got bronchitis.
Right. I've seen some really great results, though, with the Copaxone, so stay with that.
Yeah. Oh, bad times. She said 9/11 was a bad...
bad day.
Bad day. Yeah. It was, what the hell? You know, it's a little confusing.
Mm.
You know, you got the 911 emergency call.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also got the Porsche 911. And
all important sort of symbols for you.
Yeah. Well, I know. I was talking to a guy at a BMW dealership, and, you know, the guy had some kind of crazy nationality. And he was saying, and he was just kind of talking, and I was only understanding every third word. And he was saying, this is nothing to 911. And he kept saying 911. And I thought he was talking about, like, after the disaster, these cars started selling. He was comparing the car to the Porsche. I didn't know. I wasn't getting. He was calling the Porsche 911, the 911, and wow. I thought he was talking about the disaster because the special was on like the night before, and very confusing. You understand?
It was really messing you up.
Yeah, Porsche is going to have to change it to 910, yeah. Or we as a nation are going to have to agree to move that day either up one or back one. I'm just saying, one or the other.
811.
Or 811, perhaps. Are you talking about Porsche
yeah.
or the country?
No, either way.
It's very confusing. Tiffany is our guest tonight. She is in Playboy this month, out on newsstands as we speak. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Eleanor. Homeschooled her whole life, wants to tell me I'm wrong. Oh, man. We're going to bet on Eleanor's weight after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tiffany is our guest tonight.
Hey.
Tiffany sold herself 4 million records at age 17. Yes?
15.
Well, 15?
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
15 and a half.
Speaking of homeschooling, did your parents shove you into that stuff?
No, actually, I missed school for a year and a half, and I'm not proud of it. We were out on the road, and it wasn't until Life magazine came and did a story on me, and they said, we want to show you with your tutor, and we were like, we don't have a tutor, but we're not going to say that.
Unacceptable.
And
wow.
So, actually, my drummer, who was a certified teacher, and he kind of stepped up to the bat, but he would only do it if I really started schooling. And so he was the one who helped me pass and graduate, frankly.
Did you graduate? I mean, how did you graduate?
It was very hard. It was very, very hard. But he would, you know, tutor me on the road. I joined a private school, and I just got all my books and all my assignments. Mm. And after the shows, we would sit on the bus and do homework. It was hard. I didn't really feel like, you know, studying too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you should do both. I mean, like, anyone who makes more than $750,000 a year doesn't have to do homework. That's what I'm going to say to my kids.
But, see, I understand about the whole friendship thing because I didn't have a lot of friends. I mean, I had fans and I had people on the road.
Right.
I was always surrounded with adults. But when I went home and just tried to hang out with my friends, I was worlds apart.
Hmm. I've said to Drew many times that the stage is the most lonely place for me.
Well, surrounded by friends as you are, Adam, I can
assure you. Yeah, it's very lonely.
Insulated from the world.
No friends, only fans.
Yes, of course.
That's all I have. Enemies and fans. But no friends, right, Drew?
Yeah.
Except for you, buddy. Because you know
I'm
what?
I'm an enemy and a fan.
You know what? Because I can relax around you and break wind.
Judging by this morning's performance,
yeah.
Also speak your mind, too.
Settle.
No talent, ass clown.
Eleanor?
Hi.
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
So you were homeschooled?
Yes.
And how are you morbidly obese?
No.
How much overweight are you?
I am not overweight.
Mm-hmm. I'll be the judge of that. And why were you homeschooled?
Because my mom didn't feel comfortable with the school system. The one around here is very good.
Yeah. But they all suck.
Yeah.
I mean, some are dangerous. I'll give them that. But you're calling from Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
Must not have been dangerous over there.
No, just not very good.
Yeah, all right.
So where are you going to college now?
I decided not to go to college.
You're fat.
Oh, please, Drew. Shocking. Shocking. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you guys do? For science class, you see, how many moppings you get out of a 12-ounce mop and glow or something like that? I mean, do you do stuff around the house or do you?
Yeah.
You have actual Bunsen burners.
There's homeschool groups and they do field trips. Uh-huh. We went down to the biosphere. There's groups to get together and do projects, cut up different parts of dead animals, the normal.
Right. Hey, you know what I would do? Hold on a second. I'm picturing the. You guys picturing the homeschool moms that are getting together the just about 10 miles of ass, just in a packing into these minivans, with that waddle walk, tons of bad sandals and just bad bad color choices for the manicures, and they're just walking and chewing gum and talking about how good their little, ironically calling their kid their little something when they're biggest houses. That's bad. Yes, bad hairdos. Today we're going to the Lowry seasoning plant, kids, so we can learn where taco seasoning is made.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
You know what I would do? I would, like one of those Buddhist monks protesting the Vietnam War, I would just dump gasoline all over myself and set myself on fire in the parking lot of the Lowry seasoning plant. I would do that as a protest at age 17. Oh, this is just, I would just rather go join some cult. I mean, could you imagine? Eleanor?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're ironically still at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And
why did you go to college?
I couldn't decide what it is I wanted to do, and
why don't you look into that while you're in college? Which was what most people do, by the way.
Truthfully, because I really didn't want to go out of state, and ASU is not exactly considered the best school.
Home college.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's only a couple dozen other schools in Arizona you might choose from, but be that as it may.
Am I right that you're doing home college now?
Yeah, you can.
Is there an institution in Arizona good enough for you, Eleanor?
Actually, most homeschool kids attend out-of-state major universities.
They usually go
at 16 to 17.
How would you even know that? Oh. How would that data be compiled? Because how do you know about the ones that don't go?
Nobody knows.
Because I know a lot of kids that do. I also know of an all-state basketball team.
You're fat.
You what?
An all-state basketball team.
That practices at home?
Yeah, a homeschool team.
They're the home team.
The entire team was homeschooled, and they won their division in basketball.
All right. That would never work out here. That's strictly Arizona. All right there, Eleanor. Yeah, good times, baby.
Yeah.
You promised me, though, in 10 years you were going to shoehorn that ass yours out of the front door, would you?
I weigh 130.
No, I don't mean you're big gal. I just mean actually just get outside.
Oh, I do.
Does sunlight burn you? No.
Parts of her melt. But
okay.
One all right,
baby.
Today.
All right. And how does the prom work when you're homeschooled?
They do have a prom. The homeschool group did actually do a prom.
Virtual, on web, online.
Virtual prom. All right, I'm making out right now. Okay. All right there,
yeah,
baby.
But be fair. You do stuff like
actually,
that all the time.
You took your dad to the prom.
You what, huh?
You took your dad to the prom.
Oh, I did?
No, that's what they did.
Oh, you do. No,
yeah, that's what most of the kids did.
Is that a homeschool joke, or is that true?
No, it really is.
Oh. I'd like you to cover the song next, Tiffany. It's the theme from Taboo, too.
I'll think about it.
You don't think there's talent? You don't think there's talent here?
What happened to the genius of the lyrics?
Then you'd ever and do it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. You don't want to cover this?
I don't think so, no. This would be a hard one for
me. Well, listen to this lyric. You thought that you knew him, all right? All right, true. But maybe you did, but you don't. Right? See, you thought you knew, but you don't. You don't. Right?
Yeah.
He only reveals what he wants you to see, and then he shows it all. And what he does, he satisfies me. Yeah. Still nothing?
Still nothing happening here for me.
You don't cover any porn soundtracks?
No.
Interesting.
No, I've never been asked to.
Crescendo.
Actually.
Hold on, sweetie. He wants
to. Genius.
Well, I'll tell you, Anderson, put that on a dad.
Jimmy, so I can study that.
I'm saying listen to it at your leisure. It kind of grows on you. I think you warm up to it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Who knows what goes on?
Here's another one you might want to cover.
The old vagina.
Eleanor called me quite a compelling argument for homeschooling.
Yes.
Didn't she?
No.
I took my dad to the prom. I didn't go to college because there's nothing in the Mesa, Arizona area that's up to my mom's standards. There's no high school that was good enough. Oh, Jesus Christ. We went on a field trip. We went to the Goodrich Tire Plant. Saw where they made tires.
Taters.
Oh, I have.
And taters.
What name is this?
Senkalt? Senkali?
Senkalt.
Senkalt.
Yeah. With a P on the end.
Uh-huh. Oh, with a P on the end. All right there. What's up? What kind of name is that?
Indian.
All righty. What's up?
You know, I'd actually called you a couple years back, and y'all said the same thing.
What kind of name is that?
Yeah.
Now it's bound to happen.
Yeah,
we're fairly consistent.
I get it a lot. That's okay. I guess my question was regarding gambling addiction. I guess I kind of want to know more about it because I'm worried that maybe my dad is a gambling addict. He has been pouring money into the stock market and it's been wrecking my home life. I'm not at home anymore, but my mom and sister are obviously with them, and sister's 14, and you know, it's just kind of a crappy thing going on. And
this is an interesting topic because you know, gambling's illegal in lots of states, but this like online.
Well, not really gambling in that sense. He's like I said, this is stock market
money. No, I was going to say this day trading stuff that goes on is really gambling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're doing it at home, and it's basically, I mean, it's the definition of gambling, which is you're taking a bunch of your money and you're putting it up against something in the hopes that you'll get a higher return, and it's risky, and oftentimes you don't.
Right.
I mean, that's what's the difference between putting it on the Rams and the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Well, you're wondering if he's an addict, right? A gambling addict. It's sort of simple enough to ascertain because the consequences really define the condition. In other words, if he's gambling and getting progressively more preoccupied, and the consequences that are incurred as a result of his gambling are becoming worse with time, that's pretty much fits the definition of addiction. In my experience, most gambling addicts usually have some sort of chemical addiction before the gambling preoccupation takes off. Was he an alcoholic or anything else?
No, opium.
Never had any kind. I mean, he does hardly drinks and never done drugs that I know of.
How much money has he lost?
I don't know the details, to be honest. I just know that he had sizable fortune, comparatively speaking,
it's an interesting question.
What is he? Is he a doctor?
No, he's a professor.
It's an interesting question. When is just bad investing?
Gambling.
And I don't know that I can define that.
Well, to me, it's when you don't, if you don't learn your lesson.
Yeah, but if he's operating from a sort of mathematical formula, there's going to be a certain amount of failure.
Well, so here's there are certain behaviors that get me wondering, and it's like he's maxed out his credit cards and kind of pumped that money into the market, and he's taken out credit cards in my mom's name, and
oh boy,
he's taking too many risks.
Yeah, the risks are too profound.
That just seems like it's too much, and now on top of all that, he's actually moving my mom and sister back to India for a year to save money.
You know, I would actually wonder that this is more like a bipolar condition than addiction per se.
How much money can he save by moving them to India, by the way?
Fair amount, but, I mean, if you look at all the trade-offs of actually flying there and, you know.
Well, how much money does it cost to keep him in the States? That's a chickawa. What kind of Indian is this guy?
Not that guy.
Oh, they're not going to Montana?
No.
Oh.
No, but my folks live in Illinois, so.
I know, but what I'm saying is they live out in here, so they eat a couple of cans of beans every day, and they pay some car insurance. It's a big money saver to move them to India?
Yeah, I agree, and that's my fault.
Or is he skipping out from under some debt that he might get away from?
Something's going on.
Yeah, but here's the deal. This, I would look more towards a psychiatric condition per se, like manic depression, because that really is what this sounds like. The bipolars can really get going with this stuff, and it does not really sound like addiction. Specifically.
I mean gambling addiction.
No, I don't think that's what... I think
well,
this
the
is
guy's
somebody,
hawking his... But, getting his credit cards going?
Or? Manics do this all the time. This kind of stuff they get into. So.
When you say man... Oh, you don't mean...
Bipolar
I thought you were talking
manics.
About manics. I thought you meant the cop series.
No, not manics.
Late 60s.
No, Michael... What was his name?
Manics.
No, manic.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's your manic.
Tiffany is our... Mike Connors. Tiffany is our guest tonight. We'll take ourselves a little break. She's in Playboy, which is out on newsstands now. And she's on the cover, everybody. She's holding a microphone. Yeah. All right. Didn't notice that before. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tiffany is our guest tonight. Tiffany's in Playboy this month. She's on the cover. She's dressed in white and is holding one of those white microphones that I have not seen since the Sonny and Cher specials. Remember those white mics? I'd like to see a little evolution of the mic.
And he'd wear a nice white sort of open leisure suit with an orange brown
shirt
with a huge collar.
And he'd always wear those platform shoes, trying to give himself another 4 or 5 inches. I understand these guys that are 5'4", and they hook up with these chicks that are 6'1", and then they just walk around wearing high heels and beating the crap out of their wife for not wearing flats. It just doesn't seem like a great thing. You know, like when, what's his name, hooked up with Susan Anton, Arthur, over there.
Okay, yes, no, we know who you're talking about. I'm trying to think of a name.
Dudley Moore.
Dudley Moore,
you go. Thank you. Doctor, everybody, who's never done drugs. Barely got out of high school.
A lot older than you.
Drugs.
Your brain starts slowing down at a certain
age. Oh, that's what the argument is. Because you certainly should know more of Dudley Moore than me at your age.
You would think.
One would think.
Yeah.
Dudley Moore, Arthur and Tan and I don't know
who
the hell
else. Who has extranuclear ophthalmoplegia.
Yes, he's in bad, bad shape. But the point is that the guy's all of 5'3", and he hooked up with Susan Anton, who's this model, is about 6 foot tall. Always a mistake. All right. Tiffany, what height are you? Are you
5'6".
5'6"?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I like that. I'm not a big guy. It's not a big deal to me. Is that a big deal to you,
no.
Drew?
No. Oh, no.
You like, chick's either cute or you're attracted or you're not. 5'1", 5'10", no big deal, right?
5'6".
5'6", good.
Yeah,
because you don't want to put in the heels on. Put a 4 or 5 inch heels on or something, and they're 6'3". Now you got to go get those, pull those plants off of Sonny. Got to dig him up, get those plants off him. They didn't bury him in the plants, did they? No, no reason to do that. You're right.
Probably not.
Get a bigger coffin. Yeah, he's out there. He was a dynamite guy. He was, 28. Cher was 16. You know, when they started living together. Dynamite individual. Rachel.
Hi.
You're 24?
You know what? My phone's about to die and it's chirping, so if it gets annoying, just cut me out.
All right. I wonder who's going to do that now.
What does she say?
No, her phone's running out of juice.
I see.
Yeah. Go ahead, baby.
Okay, here it goes. First of all, Adam, I wanted to thank you for a couple of years ago. You connected me with a friend of yours that was a friend of mine, and so now we're, in contact again, so I just want to say thanks.
All right, sure. Yeah. My pleasure.
Yeah. So
what are you talking about?
Well, his name is Todd.
Todd who?
Todd Euler.
Oh, I know Todd Euler.
Yeah, he's like a buddy of mine, and I lost contact when he moved away and came back, and now...
Oh. Rachel must be an auctioneer.
Hook you guys up. All right, good
okay,
time.
Anyways, okay, so...
Go, baby.
This is my deal. My boyfriend is really friends, really close with this lesbian girl. Now, she's in love with this other girl, way in love, want to have a kid, but, she wants to actually have a kid, so she needs somebody to donate her sperm, and she's gonna go to her sperm bank.
Right,
and they were talking about it, and he just hey, what about I can donate my sperm to you?
That's what
and
she suggested this.
He said it.
They're just in a conversation talking about.
He wants to donate his sperm to the lesbian couple.
I think that'd be a little
thought it'd be a great idea. Because,
it's an ultimate kind of boundary issue. If it's too weird. It's too many.
It weirded me out, and he's like,
but who's Rachel to tell him he can't do it?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's my whole deal.
It's your boyfriend, right?
I got really upset after he told me the story. He's like, well, let me just talk about my girlfriend. Let me discuss it with her and stuff. But after he just, pretty much said, yeah, I'll totally do it, da-da-da-da. And then it's like, now it puts me in a spot where I'm like, okay, I don't know. It's totally his decision, but it's just weird because
I
don't
want
to have
it's not a decision that doesn't affect you, okay? And it also is a decision.
I got you, been now three.
It's gotta be something.
It's a day late and a dollar short, that Anderson.
It just has potential to create problems. Who knows what his feelings are going to be later about having this child with someone that may or may not maintain a friendship with him.
Well, where should these people get their sperm?
Just go to a sperm bank? Yeah, and select someone. And it's just a boundary problem. You know what I'm saying? It's always a bad idea. That's a point I've really probably never made on this show. It's a bad idea for people to have dual relationships. You shouldn't have multiple qualities of relationship in amongst people. In other words, I shouldn't be someone's doctor and their brother or something. I shouldn't be...
Right.
You shouldn't be someone's friend and sperm donor and, you know, father of the child. It just, yeah, it just creates problems for people. You keep your relationships.
You should not be someone's mom and school teacher.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes.
All right. I agree. It's a little weird. Let her go there. You go to the sperm bank. What do? You find your color. You find your height. You find your nationality.
And you go to town.
You find your level of education, IQ. Wouldn't everyone just go right for the top? Does it cost more?
I think there are banks that specialize in that kind of stuff.
But it's got to cost more, right?
Probably, yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know.
It was like one of our guests.
Jonathan? No.
Yeah?
It was. Yeah, wasn't it? Yes.
All right. Hey, who was that?
Here we go.
Jonathan?
Hold on. Oh, he wasn't here. Who was it?
I have no idea.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Talk about gratifier.
All right, we're taking a break. Jonathan, you want to talk about homeschooling?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no. Hang on. I don't want to turn this into homeschooling night.
All right.
We'll talk to Jonathan, but Tiffany's here. And by the way, you can find out the information about Tiffany at tiffanymusic.com. Find out what you need to know, right?
Right.
And she's also on the cover and in the pages of this month's Playboy. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tiffany is our guest tonight. 4 million records at 16?
15.
15.
Now you're confusing me.
15. How many records you sell at 15, Drew?
Oh, none.
I bought a record. I bought Georgie Girl by the Seekers, I think.
I went through the past darkly by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, really?
15.
First, what was your first album, Drew?
That one or The Doors? I can't remember.
Doors first album?
Yeah.
I think I had. I think I got Hard Day's Night, or somebody got that for me when I was like three or something. Tiffany, first record?
Saturday Night Fever.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like 10.
Really?
Oh yeah.
A little old.
Yeah.
I mean, for the first record, right?
We listened
family?
To only country in my house for the longest time, and then I had an older cousin who listened to rock.
Is that considered abuse,
but,
Drew?
You know, I didn't go shopping
abuse?
For records.
It could be, yes.
You just grew up listening to Merle Haggard?
Well, yeah.
Wow. That's why you had to get on the road. You can't fly the coop at 15. Enough of that. Listen to the Gatlin brothers. It's driving insane. Wow, that's torture. They should have called the Child Protective Services in there. And who got you? Was your mom sort of instrumental in this? Or your dad? I mean, get you into singing? Or who figured out you could sing?
Well, I wanted to sing. I sang all the time around the house. And really, I was a dancer in the beginning. I did Tahitian dancing. And so I kind of like...
What is that, with lit torches?
No.
No.
Does that sound no, like it's Hawaiian. Well? Hawaiian dancing.
Yeah, chuckle-a-la. And you're up there at the flaming torch right before the luau. That's not that kind of dancing?
It's not that, no.
What's Tahitian dancing then?
Well, it's Hawaiian dancing.
Yeah, flaming torch.
Well, the women don't do the torch.
No, you light the torch and you hand it to the guy.
I was like, two, all right. I was going to have a torch.
Well, what an eclectic family. Listening to country, doing the Tahitian dancing. That's quite a mixture.
That's right. Very versatile.
Where was this?
Los Angeles.
Really?
In Norwalk, yeah.
Jesus Christ. How did your parents...
How did that happen?
How did that happen that your parents...
Don't look so frightened.
Well, Norwalk is so culturally rich.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such diversity there that I can imagine, especially near the women's jail there, there'd be a lot to sort of
pull
from. Sure,
it's a very strong Tahitian community there and also a country contingent there as well. How is it that you got into both those things? They just seem worlds apart.
Well, my mother liked country music, and so did my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what was played at home.
Right.
And my mom just got me into Tahitian dancing, basically. I had an older cousin who used to dance, and I wanted to be just like her.
Princess Malafula?
Papuli.
So,
Papula.
There you have it.
Holy Christ.
Well,
Now, how do you practice that? Do they hit that wooden drum and with a stick, and you just get in a grass skirt and you practice in the living
room? That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to, you have to practice.
And you didn't, you never covered. Are there any, what Tiny Bubbles? Would that be the
exactly.
Did you cover that
you
song?
You know more than you're saying there.
Tiny Bubbles. Don Ho sounds like he's going to die when he... Play that Don Ho draw.
Mahalo. Did he say a few things before that, or that's all that's left of that?
Yeah, Mahalo. I asked Don Ho how much pot he had growing on his Hawaiian farm, and he was like,
Mahalo.
which is Hawaiian for yes. It's Hawaiian for 400 kilos. Yeah. All right, so you're doing the Tahitian dancing, mm-hmm. you're listening to country music, you're singing around the house.
I'm singing around the house.
You do Star Search, right?
I did Star Search, but I lost.
Right.
Yeah. And, it was just a matter of I would just get up and sing with bands anywhere at any time. And it ended up that I started doing demos, mm-hmm. coming in the studio and recording, other people's music.
Right.
And I met my producer.
Who did you lose the first round of Star Search?
Oh, yeah, I was gone, yeah.
Just immediately?
Immediately, goodbye, thank you.
What song did you sing? Country song?
I Am Love, Jennifer Holliday.
Oh, that's not a country song.
No.
And you sent, how old were you when you did Star Search?
When I did Star Search, I had to be about 11, 12. Oh, right.
So it was some years before the success.
I had been on the road before that.
Jesus. What a life. Ben?
Yes.
Jesus. Andy, what's up there, Ben?
Not a whole lot. My question is for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I just started dating this new girl. We've kind of messed around a couple times, and I'm having trouble maintaining an erection.
He just sounds defeated, deflated, yeah. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
You ever had this problem before?
No.
Anything about this relationship that's sort of overwhelming or anxiety-provoking for you?
Well, she has a boyfriend.
All right. And is he a scary guy?
Not really. I'm not scared of him at all.
You just don't like being in this situation.
I do, but then again, I don't.
Are you on medication?
Oh, I love that answer.
Yeah. You know that you do, but you don't.
Right. I do, but then again, I don't.
A part of me wants to be, and a part of me doesn't want to be.
Are you on medication?
No, not at all.
Do you do any drugs, alcohol?
I drink alcohol, but I don't do any drugs.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
And you've never had this before?
No. In the past couple of days, I haven't been able to get one at all. Not even,
Yeah. Are you having panic attacks or anything like that?
I don't think so.
I mean, you just sound depressed and anxious.
Yeah.
And is that all over this relationship?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah. Well, what's her deal? She has a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Well, what's she planning on doing with you?
I don't know. I can't really get a straight answer from her.
Well, does her boyfriend know she's dating?
No.
So she's cheating?
Right.
And you may be in love with her?
I think so. I've known her for a long time, so.
Uh-huh.
I think so.
And when's the last time you spoke with her?
Yesterday.
And what was the plan? Does she give you any kind of feeling about what she must tell you, well, I'm planning on dumping this guy, or don't get your hopes up, or?
Well, she wants to leave him, but she's kind of stuck.
No. So yeah. That's why he's getting feeling so bad about this.
Stuck how? Like,
And he's a bad guy and an abusive guy, and you want to get away from that, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got the picture, Adam?
Yeah. And but what would she say when she says stuck? Do they have a kid?
No, it's just I think she's just comfortable with her situation.
No, Ben is the bullpen. Ben is the safety valve. Ben is to maintain
Ben's
the
nice
situation.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as soon as she gets out of this, she will not get with Ben.
Is he a troublemaker? Is he abusive?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I like this, Ben. He doesn't sweat the details. Me and you could hang out, Ben. We wouldn't have to talk.
Fly an airplane, people. Yeah. Model airplane.
Yeah. Talk about cars and airplanes, and that'd be about it. All right there, Ben. Well, it seems to me that your penis needs a change of venue.
Mm-hmm.
That this is anxiety-provoking,
mm-hmm.
this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And your penis is not up to this.
So it doesn't like it. Your body's telling you something.
It's objecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you just find somebody who's free and clear?
Cool.
All right there, Ben.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, good times.
All right.
Conscientious objecting.
His penis was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to sit out.
Mm-hmm.
My penis did that once.
Once?
Yeah, one time.
What happened?
Well, you know, I don't like to talk about that.
No.
From a personal life, but...
this is the tortoise episode?
The one time, Tiffany, one and only time.
It's a good thing you've never mentioned this before, I guess.
Yeah, the only one time my penis it failed me on a night of intimacy.
It failed you.
Yeah. It's still grounded, by the way. I give it a 14-year timeout. But I was, I don't know what I was doing. I was seeing some girl, but I was just screwing around with one girl.
Yeah.
And somehow got hooked up with some other girl.
Yeah.
And ended up sort of all of a sudden like under the sheets with her. And my penis was like, no. I was just in someone else like 18 hours ago.
Just don't do this.
Not going along.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we at least know that your penis has a conscience.
Yeah. Penis is
smart. You've been trying to beat it out of it for all these years. I understand.
I've been trying to bleed it. Yeah, like a brake system with an air bubble in it. Yeah, bleeding that penis dry.
I understand.
Not been able to get the conscious out of my penis.
Conscientiousness, that's rather remarkable.
Yeah.
Given the host.
But I'm not going to give up hope. I'm going to keep trying to drain it until I can get that kernel of remorse out of it. It's not come out yet. I think it's stuck. Joshua?
Yeah.
You're 27.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Tiffany.
Hey.
Hey, I have a question for Drew. Drew mentioned something. I was just listening in the car just a few minutes ago, and Drew, you mentioned something about dual relationships with people.
Yeah, that we have a real problem with that these days for many reasons.
And when you say dual relationships, are you talking about dual relationships in the romantic sense, or is that permeated in every life?
I really believe that there are, of course, exceptions and gray areas, but I think much more attention needs to be given to this throughout our existence.
You mean like your mom shouldn't be your manager?
Your mom shouldn't be your manager. Your doctor shouldn't be your lover. The president shouldn't be goofing around with the intern. Mm-hmm. There needs to be boundaries. And the people in the higher level of authority are the ones responsible to those underneath them, and really needs to be diligent about maintaining those boundaries.
What about me effing my psychologist?
Psychologist I find fault with, that, not you necessarily.
Yeah, so, I think he's got a problem.
With
my mother, who I had sex with, yes.
And your mom, too.
My mom, too. Who's my psychologist?
Yeah. Here's my dilemma.
Yeah.
I'm a manager where I work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got four guys that report to me. They're all really cool guys. I really like them a lot. And they're fun guys that I would typically like hanging out with outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
And where does that line need to be drawn?
No, yeah, just don't blow them.
No, you'll
be fine. Thanks.
You're flirting with creating confusion in the relationships if you become their buddy. It's like what parents do. Parents need to be the parent, not the buddy.
Oh, well, hold on, Drew. Let me disrespectfully disagree here for a second.
Yeah.
Which is, I totally wholeheartedly agree with that stuff where, you know, your brother-in-law is managing your finances and stuff. And
but
like
those
Billy
are
Joel
those,
or
that's
something.
Like out of control bad.
Yeah, it doesn't, on paper, might not sound like a bad plan, but it is.
Right.
It is, and I agree with all the doctor stuff and stuff, too. And I agree with work to some degree, but, like, all the years I worked construction, we had a foreman, you know, and this guy was a half a click above us on the pecking order.
Right.
And he was our boss, and we'd go to Mexico and go on motorcycle runs and stuff out in the desert and stuff. And we were buddies. It wasn't a big deal.
I understand. That's not really a managerial position.
I'm guessing Joshua's not heading up a Fortune 500 company and dating the secretarial pool. He's got some goobers working underneath him in Arby's.
You haven't heard me say don't be friends with them. I'm saying you're flirting with trouble.
I don't think.
And then definitely you can go out with them and hang out with them, but if you become the buddy, you become less the boss. And you can't go, it's very hard for people to go back and forth between
elements of that.
Yeah.
Sure.
But also, at the man show, that's one big family, and we all hang out, and we all play basketball, and we all get drunk after the show together.
Yes, but it's very clear. You have very clear sort of structure there. You know, nobody screws around with Daniel, right? He sits in an authority position, and though he can go out with you guys, and you know, he's still the boss.
He gets drunker, and they get drunk, and they get him in headlocks and stuff.
So the problem then becomes, you know, as everybody knows, that we're having layoffs all over the country.
Well, what do you do?
Right, you have to fire some of these guys, maybe.
I understand.
If I've gone out dancing with, you know, my team on, you know, Friday nights for a month or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well,
lay somebody off.
These are the kinds of problems that you're going to get into if you maintain a
wrap yourself in duct tape and never leave the house. I agree with Drew.
And and it's unfortunate that this is in a different period of history. Maybe it'd be easier and clearer for people to maintain dual elements in their relationships. Now people can't do it.
Well, what is it that you do? Because I think that makes a difference. Because I think most of my friends personally in the last few years have come from work situations.
Sure.
And people that may be underneath me that I've befriended, and we all enjoy each other's company. And yes,
yeah, but you didn't remain their boss.
No, I am their boss. Yeah.
Well,
I'm their boss.
No, they're just kissing your ass still because you're the paycheck.
How
for them.
Dare you?
They're not your friends.
How dare you?
Those people that kiss your ass.
How dare you? How dare you barge into my studio in front of Tiffany
those yes
and make those accusations? Yes, those yes men.
Oh, my God.
No,
those
yes
your friends.
Men.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
How dare you? I play basketball with those guys.
Oh, then they're your... Then, oh,
they love
me. They're your
they
friends.
They worship
then.
Me. How
I
dare
know
you?
That.
How dare you?
Think about that.
They look at me as a... Yes? Joshua?
Yeah.
Drew's an idiot.
Yeah,
Drew goes home and he gets his ass kicked by his wife every night and he doesn't know what guys are. He doesn't have any guy buddies because his wife won't let him have any, and he's scared of guys, and so that's why he does this.
Scared of guys.
You heard me. All right, well, listen, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a tech support supervisor.
All right, that means nothing.
And it's for a gaming company, so it's
okay.
Really lax environment. So.
Okay, we'll just leave it at you pick and choose carefully.
That's
you don't
right.
want to befriend the entire floor you work on. And I do think that work is a little different than the doctor relationship.
It is, but he's thinking about it, and it's important and worthwhile to think this through for him.
Yeah, if there's somebody he works with who he really enjoys, I don't want it to be.
No, I didn't say that.
I know, but you always make a big deal over this, and I would say
this. I've never mentioned it before.
No, but over these relationships where
the authority
somebody wants to date their teacher's aide
in college, or something.
And you get freaked out. And I would contend that as an adult, this is where people make their friends. I mean,
you don't
go to school. A lot of people don't belong to church groups or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're working in some jobs that are 50, 60 hours a week, this becomes your sort of social life. And
becomes
I agree.
Life, yeah.
Yeah, when it comes time to firing somebody, yeah, it adds
awkward.
An extra element.
Yeah.
It is point well taken, and it's a sad testimony to our situation in our society that people have to pay such careful attention to these boundaries.
I just think with the good comes the bad sometimes, but it's
what?
Worth the good.
What's Anderson's there laughing for the first time in last
he's watching something on TV.
What are you laughing about?
Becky is...
what are you laughing about? You're laughing hysterically. He's watching
something on TV.
I was trying to find a way to work this in, and then I couldn't, so I just played it in here, and every time it's funny.
We'll play it for us.
You want to hear?
Yeah. Now listen.
Hey,
it's the... Listen.
it's funny every night.
Well, yeah, work it into the show.
It gets old for me. Now listen.
Listen.
All right.
Play that one. I like that one too.
All right. Okay.
That's true. Drew's a little unstable. I don't know if you noticed that. He keeps a very level, sort of facade, but underneath that, it's just seething cauldron of hate and anger and fear.
It's time to start listening, goddammit. Wow. I'm going to calm it down a little bit.
You just listen yourself through. hey, Becky.
Yep.
What?
Oh.
Oh, Becky the male?
Yep.
Wow. Who's your dad, Johnny Cash?
No.
Oof.
Oh, okay. See, so yeah, my humor doesn't work on any.
This is a hard one.
He sung that Boy Named Sue song, No? Tiffany would know that because she grew up in a country household.
We played that a lot. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
All right there, Becky the Male?
Yeah.
Mr. Personality, you got a question?
Yeah, I really want to ask this girl out, but she happens to be my, a good friend's sister. And normally, I'm pretty sure she would she'd agree to go out with me, but but I think I should probably handle the situation with a little more care than usual.
What's her name? Chuck.
I'm sorry.
How old is she?
She's about a half year younger than me.
And how old's your friend?
He's about a half year older than me.
And do you think he'd have a problem with this?
I don't know. Like, he's usually a pretty easygoing guy.
You gonna talk to him about this before you do it?
Well, I think that would probably be. Probably the best thing.
Is he a protective brother? Does he say things?
Yeah, he's sort of like that big brother kind of guy.
You know what, though? I don't know. Yeah. Well, you know, what are we going to say? You got to ask him. And
we're on the topic of sort of blurring the boundaries.
Yeah.
This, to me, is one of them.
Yeah, it is. But, it is.
But Drew's a passionate man, so he'll
Look
the other way for this one. Yeah, because there may be sex involved. Yeah, it's a little bit of a situation, and I agree. One thing you can't do is just have oral sex with her and cast her aside.
No.
I mean, if you're serious, then you can make a play, but you're gonna have to hang in for a little while.
Right. Well, we've already had sex.
Oh my God.
Oh.
So what's the what are you asking us?
Well, I just want to make sure that it's okay with him. That I'm.
Well, it's too late. Whether it was okay with him or not, you've gone ahead.
Yeah, but now, sort of make it official, we can go out, in public or something.
No, you guys are having a relationship.
What if he says no and flips out on you? What are you going to do?
Oh, I don't know.
I hadn't thought about that, huh?
No.
Becky should just enroll in the junior college right now. Why waste the last 2 years of high school?
You could be the all-star junior college. Why not?
Becky, just drop out of high school and go to junior college right now. Can you do that?
No, I'm a good student.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
It's 1:17 in the morning over here.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
I'm a little tired.
So it's after one. All right, this is late. Hi there, buddy. I think you better tell him. But, but don't do that. Hey, banger already. So, by the way.
He's usually a pretty easygoing guy.
All right.
Every once in a while, he'll get this, bout of, mason jar up the butthole.
Oh, God.
Wow, that was it?
All this for that?
Jesus Christ.
Disappointing.
That was a bogus call, I guess.
No zest, no enthusiasm, poorly delivered.
Yeah, but a certain degree of bravado. Now, aren't you guys glad that I abused him?
Yes.
You see, people, I take a lot of criticism for abusing all our callers, mm-hmm. but then one out of every 30 of them turns out to be a bogus call, and now you're glad.
Yep, see?
You're glad I called him Mr. Personality and made all those abusive jokes on his behalf. But Jesus, what? The call was even, like I said, it wasn't even really a question too much. I mean, the way he'd phrased it, we'd have sex. It wasn't that.
He wasn't selling it.
Wasn't that tantalizing? He's normally an even keeled guy, but, maybe he cares. the stakes weren't raised. It would have been better if this guy was a black belt in Taekwondo. And, he's on the roids, so he could freak pretty easily, and his sister was really hot, but he killed one guy who dated her. But I'm his best friend, and he knows I have a huge penis. All right. Oh, Becky's such an idiot. Hey, Becky.
Jennifer.
All right, listen, hold on a second. Here's my, you know what I love? Hold on a second. Is he still here? Where is he?
Hey, can we talk to Becky?
He's gone. I was going to say that our last caller, the bogus caller, Becky there?
Huh?
Yeah. On hold for how many minutes?
93 minutes. Let's talk to him a little bit, shall we?
No, I'm done talking to him. I just want to make sure that everyone knew that.
He's an idiot.
So on hold for longer than the show's been on the air.
Yeah, in order to deliver a half-hearted, weird, bogus call.
You idiot!
Yeah. Good student, though. That had to be the most bogus part.
Well,
of
that was the part we started going, huh? What?
Yeah, hold on. Let's talk to him. You're right. Why can't I get that line back? Or
there it is.
They got him off. Becky.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you really a good student?
No. Okay, there we go.
Just tell the truth.
We got to trust our instincts on this. Come on now.
No, you're a bad student, right? Yeah. Okay, listen, Tardo. I told you, junior college now. Right now. Don't waste another 2 years of high school. That actually was... The part where he said he was a good student was the part that was most
That was the part difficult. That we looked at each other like we should have followed that through.
Well, then he backed it up with it's late.
Yeah, yeah.
So we kind of gave him a little pass. But he sounded dimmed, did he not?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, I'm serious, though. Why put off... Junior college. I mean,
just more high school. Want to get it done earlier?
Yeah, just knock it out. Take the GED. You don't need transcripts or anything. Just take the GED and go. Why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tiffany is our guest tonight. She's on the cover of the current April issue of Playboy.
Ow!
She's also inside the current edition of Playboy.
What is her website?
TiffanyMusic.com, Drew. Glad you asked. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Tiffany is over here.
Hey.
Tahitian dancing, country music, 4 million records at 15.
Aloha.
I keep belching up this garlic stuff I ate tonight. So
yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. I didn't want to embarrass you in front of Tiffany.
I want to apologize to everyone in the studio with me. TiffanyMusic.com is where you can find out anything you want to find out about Tiffany. And if you want to find out even more, you can pick up the current issue of Playboy. She's on the cover and gracing the pages. And this is the first time they contacted you.
This is the first time. And I finally went ahead and said yes, actually, because it started in August. We did, like, this whole courting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him really what it would really entail.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I kind of said no, and then I thought about it and said, yeah, I'll do it.
Well, is it, here's what I understand about Playboy. Apparently there's some sort of clause where you cannot have any conversation about money.
Right.
And that's and by the way, is there another clause that says you have to pretend like there's no money clause and can't talk about it? Because I don't understand why people don't just say, because we've had this happen a few times, because I think people are very curious. I don't know. When it comes to this, people want to know, how much does this person get paid to take their clothes off, and how much did that person pay, and what's it going to cost, and all that stuff. And in general, it's something that people are interested in. And no one will ever tell you.
I think it's because they pay certain people a certain price, and then
they
kind of sum you up. Yeah, they don't want this bidding war.
So they have just said, hey, you cannot talk about the price that was paid, which is fine. I just wonder why, and I wouldn't argue with someone if they said, hey, you know what? I'd love to tell you, except for I signed a thing that said I can't tell you, so I can't tell you. But everyone's like, see, what I did is I wanted to make a personal statement, and it was important to me, and I'm like, yeah, but how much? And they're like, money is not the issue. Just say you got to cut. I'm not talking to you. I'm yelling at every other screwball that's done the show. Just say I signed a goddamn thing that says I can't say how much it is. What? Doesn't that get you off the hook?
Yeah.
I mean, Drew, how many times have I just beat on someone who's sitting here for 20 minutes trying to squeeze out how much they've said? They've never said, but they've never just said, hey, I got a clause.
I just remember particularly Jerry from Survivor was just kept coming back with, no, it was just important for me to do this. It was so artistic and blah, blah, blah. And you kept...
Well, yeah, what is that? Did they give you a... Oh, did they, yeah.
I don't know, really.
She's on fire, that Jerry from Survivor.
I really don't know. I was just told not to mention, you know...
The price. Fine. And I wonder how they would penalize you, by the way, if you did.
Well, it's just in bad taste. You make an agreement and...
It could be sued. It'd be a violation of
contract. Probably, but I just think it's in bad taste. You either accept it or you don't.
I say 250. 250 grand. That's my price. That's what I'm guessing.
That's what you need to be paid?
Tiffany's shaking her head yes. So.
That's what you need to pay.
She's
actually sitting stone-faced.
Go on.
Inside laughing her ass off.
I can read a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing you said all night.
Of course, now Tiffany's laughing.
She didn't know you're a comedian until that.
No. I was just laughing her ass off. Sitting there like one of those Easter Island monoliths, you know. But now she's laughing her ass off because I told her I can read a woman. Seba.
Hello.
You're 19.
Yeah.
All right, what's up?
Turn whatever's up there down, or is that your radio down?
Okay. I was wondering if it's possible to suppress orgasms.
What do you mean by that?
Well, like, if it's possible to, like, if you're having sex and you, like, start to have an orgasm, but then to suppress it and stop it.
Sure.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've really started it I mean,
well, women can particularly do that. Men, when once it's actually started, that's it. It's over. But men, some men can distract themselves sufficiently that they can sort of avoid having it.
Well, so not
it's more
once
avoiding
the torpedoes coming
once,
down the
once
hatch.
Once the train leaves the station, that's it. It's out.
Well, once the horse gets out of the...
Once the cannibal, like, whatever.
Right. Once the bear peeks its head out of the cave.
Okay.
Yeah, well, as a woman... Devaney, chime in here. As a woman... You can get close and then do that like no, or you can stop. But there is a threshold that you pass that's beyond the point of it's like a sneeze. You can get close and get close and close, but there's a certain point where it's coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So why? Why do you want to know?
why do you want to do that?
Well, it's just that, like, I can't remember the last time I had an orgasm, and my friend is convinced that it's because I'm suppressing them.
No, you want to
have one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why would you suppress it then?
I don't know.
No, that's ridiculous. Okay. That is ridiculous.
Your friend's an idiot.
Okay.
Clearly.
Get a relationship with somebody you really care about and kind of work on it, and I bet it will...
Right.
Magically reappear.
I mean, dump that goofball friend of yours, too.
Yeah.
And next time she says that, tell her, listen, honey, that's because you're repressing yours.
Actually, it's a guy.
Listen, dude.
Okay.
That's because you're repressing yours. That's called projection.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Is he screwing you?
Sometimes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's why. That's where he gets his theory.
Yeah, he just wants, yeah.
See, I've had that theory, too, for about 15 years.
Just from something wrong with you, Saber.
Yeah, I know I'm the best.
Yeah, if you just let it out, it'd be fine.
Relax, and they would just come flying out of you like birds from a magician's hat.
Bats from a cave.
Like bats from a cave.
Yeah, that's going to do it. That statement alone.
By the millions. Yeah, around sunset.
Again, Tiffany's impressed with your your erudition.
Thank you. 250, that's what I say. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, look at that face, nodding frantically. Jonathan?
Huh?
Yeah, you're 20?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, yeah, Jonathan was homeschooled.
Yeah, I was homeschooled, and I just want to give a better argument than the last girl did, because I have an associate's degree in fire and rescue, and my older brother has a bachelor's degree in computer design, and my brother... older than me, has his associate's degree in physical therapy. I just want to say that
all homeschooled.
All homeschooled.
When are you guys? Were you guys like? Huh? Were you named? Were you have a religious family or something?
Yeah, we were. My mother was LDS.
Oh yeah.
So and. I mean, I have nothing wrong with public school, and I have nothing wrong with homeschool either. I just think it's a matter of the teacher being able to help you. Anything about motivation.
All right, there, buddy.
All right,
thanks, there, Johnny.
Is that all?
That's good enough.
And yet, as soon as John opened his mouth,
he sounded like he had a fourth grade education.
Well, not dumb, but like not immediately. I was not impressed with the case for homeschooling. You know, there's something, there's some quality in their voice or the way they interact.
Sound like Tony Randall.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree. Well, listen, here's the deal. It's not that there's not bad public schools, and it's not that there's not good homeschools. It's more the thought. It's the parent that wants to be on top of their kid 24/7.
Yeah.
That's the part that's the trouble that I have with it, or one of the main issue I have with it. It's more the part where you need to separate and you need to start.
Well, unless you know that you are really in an unsafe area or something has happened.
Yeah, yeah. If you've come out to the school that you're gay and there's gangs that are kicking your ass up and down the halls and your life is being threatened. But I would contend that a lot of people get pulled out of homes, out of school and into homeschooling for stuff that needs to be solved.
Right. They need to work through.
And these are the same issues that come up in college and in work and in relationships
throughout life.
You got a beef with somebody you work with or what have you. You got to deal with it.
Right.
You can't go home.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a call for Tiffany. Donna?
Yes?
You're 30?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I want to know how Tiffany feels about posing for Playboy and how she feels about influencing the younger girls of the new generation.
tripping, you nag!
Well, I feel great about posing for Playboy. It was a decision that, you know, I thought about, and for me, it has definitely worked. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't encourage somebody else and just, like, impose in their life and say, oh, you've definitely got to do it. You got to think about it. For me, it was a career move to break me out of the mall girl image. And, you know, as far as influencing the little girls, I mean, I don't think that's really my audience any longer. I think they're definitely looking at Britney Spears or...
Well, I think she means influencing the next generation of singers. I mean, is it connected to Playboy or just laying the groundwork for other pop young singers?
Or just anyone?
I mean, I'm talking about posing for Playboy.
You're concerned that anyone posing for Playboy would be setting up the potential for exploitation of younger women.
Exactly.
Okay.
Really?
I'm talking about even Katerina Witt or whatever.
She posed nude?
Yeah.
True. Well, you gotta get on that internet, buddy, when you get home.
You know, I think for me it was, I'm happy with the pictures, and I think you have to be.
Done and done. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just think that for me, I had to look at the pictures and think that they were done tastefully. That was my biggest issue.
That sounds like a cop-out.
No, you know, I really don't have a problem with it.
Lard ass.
I mean, you know what, if you're going to be like that, you can sit there and say, okay, then I have to be Miss Perfect, and I don't think that anybody is. Because, I mean, you better watch what you say and what you do and who you hang out with and too. Because you're always an influence.
Exactly.
And I think people have to be responsible for their own lives. And well, and they can't just look at somebody and say, well, they're naked, so I feel like I'm going to rush out and get naked. I mean,
don't you think younger women do feel like that? That they do look at you as a role model?
I don't personally think so. I don't think that my records are selling to the young generation. I think that, I mean, I don't know of any, you know, 13, 14-year-old girls that are really running out to buy Playboy. I think there's other things that they're looking at, frankly.
Yeah, they were like watching Spring Break on MTV. Christ's sake, and doing body shots off Carson Daly's hairy ass.
Well, I just think they're entertained with other things.
Well, what I misunderstood about Donna's question is, would you ask this question to anyone who is in Playboy?
I would only ask it to those who are in the limelight, so to speak, and who do have a personal responsibility to be that role model to younger women or younger children. Mm-hmm. Even sports stars, I would ask them that same question.
Right,
I mean, they have a responsibility.
Well, that according to you.
According to me, and you don't feel that way?
No.
No.
Not necessarily, no.
Because you're
on
radio, and you have your own show, and you have your own opinions, just like anybody else.
Hold on, let me get a scratch pad here. Radio, what was the second thing she said? I have opinion? Yeah.
You have more than one. You have a lot of rants. I listen to you.
Well, listen.
You're fat.
Drew, please. How dare you? I just, the idea, you know.
I'm not fat.
Okay, but listen, Husky. But Tiffany, her audience, I mean, when she was at her height, was the girls who were big fans of her at that age or adult women.
And at that time, it was appropriate. I mean, you know, I certainly wasn't running around sexy.
Yeah, they're not 14. If they were 14, they were born then.
For me personally, I mean, just to go further than that, I think that my audience who was with me at 14, 15 are now women, and they're now mothers. And I think this is very strong to show that you can be a hot mom, you can be 30 and still strong and sexy, and you can be sexy without being trampy, frankly.
Yeah, well,
I think that some of these pictures are really, really great.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you about that because that would get uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. But no, what I'm saying is I think. This no more makes somebody, it's like, we get a little nutty with this. All right, I'm going to go on a rant here.
Mm-mm.
We get a little crazy. I'm an atheist, but I give a goddamn about them posting the Ten Commandments at a library. That's fine with me. I look at all 10 of them. I agree with at least 6. And fine, that's the majority. Put it up. I don't care. I'm an atheist. I don't care. And by the same token, if you want to put a condom dispensing machine somewhere at the same library, I'm fine with that. That doesn't make kids have sex. And seeing people in Playboy doesn't make young girls get naked and take photographs of themselves. I don't buy this stuff where having a Bible on the nightstand of a hotel is offensive to those who aren't Christian, you know? Just ignore it at that point. I think people are smart enough to make their decisions, and it's the Donnas of the world that are out sort of policing everyone and wanting you to take some responsibility for everything. And, you know, Ozzy Osbourne comes out with a hard rock album, so some teenager who's got horrible clinical depression kills himself. Thank you. Now, I understand. You're out of the doghouse for that move. Now we got to put Ozzy on the stand and ask him what his lyrics were. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think we got to give this stuff a break. We really do.
Well, I think people should be responsible for their own actions and their lives, and they have to put some thought into what they're doing.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, you being in Playboy doesn't get young women to pose for Playboy any more than the Bible in the nightstand of the hotel I stay in turns me into a born-again Christian. Okay? And everyone should just relax.
So, Thank you.
Tiffany's got to go now.
All right. Tiffany's going. Let's just sing the beginning of I Think We're Alone.
Oh,
all right?
Gee,
I can do
we?
It. I'm going to do it with you. Ready?
All right.
Ready?
Do you know the beginning?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Wait, see, who originally did that?
Tommy James and the Shadows.
Tommy James
and the
Shadows. All right. They also did Crimson and Clover. Is that their song?
Oh, no. They did Money Money.
They did Crimson and Clover,
too. Did they?
Oh, yeah.
See, I don't know. Gotta check my stuff.
Yeah, Joan Jett covered that at some point. Okay, you ready? All right, how do we start?
Children
behave. That's what they say when we're together. And watch how you play.
You don't understand. And
so we're running just as fast as we can. Hold on to one another's hand. Trying to get away into the night. And then you put your arms around me. And we tumble to the ground. And then we say,
I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around.
I think we're alone now.
God, you got me singing
wrong.
The
beating of my heart is the only sound. All right. Tiffany,
nicely
everybody.
Done.
Thank you. I just like the children behave part. All right. TiffanyMusic.com. Playboy out now. Tiffany, thanks for coming
in. Thank you.
And come back anytime you like.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, all right. Loveline, everybody. Tiffany has left the building and impressed you with my I Think We're Alone Now rendition, huh?
I did.
Children behave.
Careful.
What is that, Josie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always want to call that Jose. Spent too much time in L.A. What's up there, Josie?
Okay, hi. Well, I was making out with my girlfriend, and, you know, I took off her underwear and everything, and, like, her vagina was, like, black. Like, was it dirty, or...
Yep.
Yeah?
You're a lesbian.
Yep. Chimney soot. She probably been burning logs in there.
Couldn't she have been menstruating?
No.
Couldn't that be old blood?
No.
Do you really think it's just, what, potting soil up there?
I don't know. She's just
dragging her vagina on the ground?
She's not scrubbing well when she takes the shovel, or what?
What makes you think it's not just old blood?
What makes everyone go right to the most sort of insulting part of everything? Do you know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah.
Let's use your hypotheses of not scrubbing well. Would her vagina be black because she didn't shove a loofah up there?
I don't know. Well, she was just black. Like, you know how people have, like, black elbows when they don't scrub them well?
Well, that's more just kind of like dried skin.
Yeah.
It's not really like it's dirt.
So what do you guys think it is then?
I think it's old blood.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't, listen, I'm a pretty filthy guy.
Yeah.
My balls have never turned black because I didn't scrub them. They get a little smelly. They get a little, you know.
Shaky with all that mache down
there. Some dingleberries on there, but they don't turn black.
Okay, well, what can she do, like, to get rid of it?
Well, why don't you talk to her? Is she going to a gynecologist and that kind of stuff?
Okay.
Does it smell?
No, it was fine.
Well, hey, Joseph.
Are you saying the skin is black? Like the parts of the labor that were darker than it should be?
Josie, yeah, if she wasn't cleaning well, don't you think it would have an odor?
But some people can have pigment on their mucosa like that. They're just like, you know, a dog's mouth, the roof of a dog's mouth can have pigment.
Yeah.
Also, she shaves, so you guys think if I, like, bumps, you know?
All right. Listen, Josie, you got to drop out now and go to junior college.
There you go.
You're over in North Hills?
Mission Hills.
You got to change the battery on that smoke alarm that's beeping in the background.
I'm going to go to CSUN next year. Is that bad?
Yeah. All right. Go to CSUN next year.
Is that bad or what?
Well, I'd like to see you over at Pierce, to tell you the truth.
Why?
Because it's more of a stepping stone school. I'm not sure if you're going to make it. I don't know if you're CSUN material.
Why?
I see you as more, because of the questions you're asking, I see you more as Pierce material.
Oh, okay, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. Okay, baby, listen, you go to CSUN and follow that dream,
you
okay?
You got a smoke alarm going on?
Yes, and change that smoke alarm detector battery, would you please?
Okay, I will.
All right, baby. Good times. There's nothing wrong with your girlfriend.
All right.
Yeah, sometimes people's parts are different colors.
Yeah.
Like a dog's mouth, that Drew said. Very good. Very true. Guys get that on their dork sometimes, a little different colors.
What was that?
Someone's yelling in the next room.
That's nice.
All right. It's Jennifer, who's 19.
Hi.
Hey, Damien, did you look up Tommy James and the Shondells?
Oh, here comes. Yeah.
Right on it. All right, Jennifer?
Yes.
19, what's up?
I'm kind of having a problem with an older man coming on to me.
Mm-hmm.
43.
43, and you're 19.
Yes, and it's getting really bad.
Why aren't you reporting this to someone?
Actually, I have, and I've had some other people talk to him and see if he will stop, and he's not.
Okay, why don't you call the police now?
I'm kind of afraid to do that because he's a reserve police officer.
Hold on, I'm completely obsessed now. I didn't want the lyrics to, I think we're alone now. did anyone tell you that? No? No, I'm talking to phone screener Damien.
All right, we're out of time here.
All right, so.
Jennifer, you do not be afraid. You just got to report this to the proper authorities and let them do their job.
Okay.
That's it. It's just intolerable. It's unacceptable. Just
yeah. And don't be a victim, baby.
You got that?
You got that?
Okay.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Drew loves you.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
I do.
Bye.
All right. There you go.
Here we go.
Tommy James and the Shondells do sing Crimson and Clover, by the way.
No, listen, we should never doubt you. No matter what the issue.
Tiffany makes $4 million off Tommy James by covering a song. Does not even know he does the Crimson and Clover. Tiffany, if you're listening, Crimson and Clover. Tommy James, thank you. All righty. Want to thank Tiffany for coming in here tonight. We're going to take ourselves a little extended 22-hour break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I think we're alone now. There doesn't seem to be anyone around.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.